IDR, area C.
Medical
Charlie.
Resource, area E, Echo, Michaela.
On board, we have a 45-year-old male chief complaint.
Welcome to Quality Cast. Let's get into it. Quality Cast is back. Everybody, actually really just my whole two listeners, thought it was dead. But just like the cockroach that you saw under the desk in Fast Track last week, it's not dead, and it's better than ever. So, for my two listeners, thank you so much for coming back and listening. I really am glad you're enjoying it. I hope you continue to enjoy it. We're going to kind of change the structure of Quality Cast a little bit. I think once a month got to be a little bit much, and it's hard with topics to kind of like come up with to discuss. So now we're going to be doing it more on a quarterly basis, and it's going to be in time to the newsletters from some of like our sub departments. It's a new thing for those of you that don't know. Starting now in the spring, we have SIM, research, ultrasound, and tox are going to be reporting out with different newsletters to the team to just kind of summarize what's been going on and ways to get involved or any like learning points. And basically each of those teams will be releasing newsletter content twice a year. So it's four times a year in pairs of two. So this time we have our research team and our simulation team that are gonna be reporting out. And this is just gonna be kind of like a summary and a way to kind of listen if you're not really into looking at the emails or reading. You can kind of get the highlights from here. I'm gonna be connecting with the members of each team to go over the highlights of their newsletters. And then anybody ever has any topic that they want to come and discuss for the group, happy to have you. So just email me and let me know. And obviously there might be some special treat episodes on occasion if something comes up or we want to discuss something with the team. Nicole's here today. She's on the quality team. And so we're just going to talk about a few little updates before I get into it with the research and sim teams. So Nicole, what updates are you aware of or reminders that you have for the team?
Hi everyone, super excited to be part of Quality Cast. Updates for our pediatric providers on the ped side, we are instituting an overhead resus system similar to what we have on the adult side. So when you're working over in the ped side, stay tuned for anything that you're hearing overhead in terms of announcements for some of our more sick and critical patients. And then in terms of other updates,
Conscious sedations.
So just a plug to remember to continue filling out all the critical portions of the procedure note for our conscious sedations and having our consents checked and double checked. All of the critical portions can be found on the in-person guide that's located at each of the pods.
And, you know, I gotta say, I'm disappointed. I haven't received one text or phone call at, like, a wee hour of the morning. I put my phone number there.
That's true. Yeah, our numbers are on there.
Yeah.
Feel free.
Feel free. I'm waiting all day, every day for your call or text to ask me if you need to put NPO status. I'm just waiting for it. I'm happy to help. Other updates, things I wanted to mention, we're bringing it to the faculty meeting. This new crisis response protocol or team that we have. Shout out to the operations team, especially Jill, who's worked really, really hard with me on this, and obviously our nursing colleagues. We actually simmed it as well, so shout out to the sim team. Megan Winters was super helpful with the sim for this process. Basically, what this is going to look like is patients that are agitated or like a danger to themselves or others that the team is having trouble de-escalating, and they're, you know, needing restraints. It's going to look more like a resus type picture because we want to heighten the awareness to the team that this is obviously a really dangerous situation. So basically it'll be called overhead as a crisis response team. That'll bring the nurse to the bedside, the providers to the bedside, and security with the restraints. You know, certainly you're going to attempt to de-escalate, medicate as indicated, and restrain as indicated, and it just gets the team all on the same page of what time you're restraining the patient, what type of restraints you're using, what the plan is for the patient, to make sure that the documentation and the orders are correct. It's just a good way to make sure everybody's on the same page and have heightened awareness for the group that you have somebody on restraints in your pod. And those patients will be put in a room on telemetry monitoring. This is going to be like more rolled out as a process in early April, hopefully, is what we're shooting for. But I just wanted to kind of remind the team that that's up and coming. And just some highlights for restraints, guys. As always, The violent restraints, it's all or nothing. It's locked leather synthetic, bilateral wrists and ankles. We're not weaning off restraints. It's all or nothing. 4-point. Make sure you put the face-to-face evaluation in real time when you're doing the order, and then certainly reevaluate those patients frequently and take them off as soon as it's safe. And then your soft restraints are for your like confused granny that's interfering with care. That's just bilateral wrists. No ankles involved with that, and it's just soft. And again, all or nothing. Couple things that we wanted to highlight as well from the CRC group. Certainly ongoing use of interpreters. If a patient's preferred language in the medical record is not English, make sure you're using an interpreter and document that. You know, certainly a history might be muddied if there's a language barrier. So it's, you know, we've seen a few themes with that, with things that might have been missed because of a language barrier. If you actually approach a patient, you find that the documented preferred language is incorrect, email us an MRN. We are looking to help that process because we have noticed that there have been some themes of like incorrect preferred languages. So go ahead and email us the MRN and we're working with that. And then also another theme that's been coming up recently is documentation of consultant discussions. I myself can definitely empathize. I'm like a very trusting individual, and I'll just put, you know, spoke with on-call, whoever. It's really important though, put exactly who you talked to, what was said, what the plan is. And even if you feel maybe uncomfortable with a plan or there's some questions with the plan, even making sure that they have some documentation and like just ask them, hey, drop a note for me before this is what we do, because I just want to make sure that we have some documentation to make it clear for the teams of what's going on with the patient. So super important as well. And I think that's all for now, and we'll get into it. I'm going to have Rima here talking about the research newsletter, and then also Mike Quinn talking about SIM. Okay, so I have Rima here. She is our Director of Biomedical Informatics in our department. Rima, welcome. Thank you so much for coming on just to talk a little bit about the highlights of the newsletter for research.
Absolutely. Thank you for having me on QualityCast.
Forgive me, guys, if the quality of the audio is not as great for Rima's. She's joining me remotely, so we're on FaceTime, actually, and that's how we're recording it, but whatever works. Rima, there's a lot of people in our department that haven't had the chance to really work with you one-on-one. I just wanted you to talk a little bit about yourself for those who haven't had the pleasure of talking with you in person or meeting you in person.
Sure, yeah. So I've been here at HRMC in the emergency department for over 5 years. Before that, I was over in New York City, and I did my PhD in informatics at Columbia. And so I've worked at hospitals doing all sorts of data analytics and research with clinical data and quality data for almost a decade now, not longer. So I'm excited to work with all of you guys. So if you don't know me, please reach out. I'd be happy to chat with you.
Amazing. And you also have two really cute kids. How old are they now?
6 and 4.
So fun. And then there's also Diana, Daisy, and Vineet. They're also part of the team. I see their bios here on the newsletter. I don't know if you just want to give like a one-liner about each of them and what their areas of expertise are.
Absolutely. So we have a really great research team with a ton of experience. Diana McCarthy has actually been here for almost 12 years, and she has a ton of experience both writing grants and helping think through research protocols and papers. So that's been really her strength. We've written a lot of different things together. We also have Daisy Negron, who's here for over 4 years, and she helps run a lot of our clinical trials. You may see her consenting patients and helping make sure that we have all of the right paperwork and all of the regulatory pieces completed. And we have Vineet Arora, who's been here for over 2 years and worked as a phlebotomist before. And he helps keep track of all sorts of our conference deadlines, our grant deadlines, making sure that we're on schedule and on time with our submissions.
I also see on like the first page of the newsletter, which by the way, this looks really amazing. I shout out especially to, I think it was Diana who found the Canva thing and taught Mike and I how to do it. So for the people that have been enjoying the pearls, you'll enjoy the newsletters because Diana found this thing, it's called Canva, where we plug in stuff and it makes it look really neat. But anyway, I'm looking at the newsletter right now for the research team and I'm seeing a couple spotlights for, or like ways to highlight the team. Dr. Biren Bhatt and Gabrielle Procopio, they received a grant from the New Jersey Health Foundation to help with their clinical trial regarding Ketorolac administration. I think that's really awesome. Congratulations to them. And then also Dr. Benton, who received a grant from the IHI to help increase our dysphagia screening down in the department to help hopefully prevent aspiration in our geriatric population. So that's super awesome. I know a lot of work goes into them receiving those grants. I know the research team helped out tremendously. I just wanted to highlight that to the team for those that didn't know that they received those grants. That's really awesome. Congrats. And then I'm scrolling through. There's a lot of things about research. I feel like that's a little intimidating for people, especially if they've never been involved in research before or if they haven't really thought about being involved. I wanted to ask you, Rima, as like an expert on the topic, what's something that you wish like just the general faculty or residents knew about research if they haven't been involved in research in the past?
I think that people may not realize how many amazing resources we actually are lucky to have in our department. So we can help you think, even starting from the beginning, if you have an inkling of an idea, you know, thinking through how we could possibly answer that question that you may have, and going from that to writing actually the IRB application, to getting it through the IRB, which can take a while, to making all the pieces fall in place. So we really don't want research to be scary and intimidating, but rather approachable. And we have the team that can help with that.
Yeah, I'm seeing on the how we can help on like the bottom here, like editing protocols, helping with regulatory data, IRB coordination, doing the applications for the e-research, grant application assistance, chart reviews, patient enrollment. Like that's obviously a long list of very time-intensive things that I think are what intimidate people with research, and the fact that we have the resources here to help is just awesome. So wanted to highlight that. And if people have ideas for a project, what should they do or who should they go to?
We have two standing meetings, which we're happy to invite anyone and everyone to. So if you're interested, come to our research operations meeting, come to our research council meeting and chat with us. If that feels like a little bit too much pressure, you know, just email me and I'm happy to have some conversations with you and just chat about ideas and where we can go from there.
Awesome. Thank you so much for all your help and for highlighting the newsletter. I really appreciate your time. And a big reminder to the team, all of the full-time and part-time attendings and residents are required to complete all IRB required city modules. And there's like a link to instructions on the newsletter. So very important. It's a requirement for the team. Okay, awesome. Thanks, Rima.
Thank you, Abby.
Mike, thanks so much for taking the time. How you doing?
Great. Thank you for having me today, this morning, Abby.
You met with your voice coach. You were telling me you were meeting with your voice coach in preparation for this.
That's right. I was doing some voice exercises in the Excellent. Bathroom this morning in preparation.
Excellent. Do, re, mi, fa, sol, la, ti, do. Okay, so tell us a little bit about the SIM team in general, like who's a part of the SIM team. When you guys do SIMs, just give me a little bit of background.
Yeah, so as part of the SIM team, on the adult side, we have myself. We also have Dr. Morschel, who is the director of the simulation lab. We also have Dr. Thurber, who is the director of SIM overall. Also involved is Dr. Winters as well. Then on the pediatric side, we have Dr. Nemetsky, Dr. Sinha, and Dr. Thomas as well. So we have a pretty large group for a pretty robust division that we have here for all the simulation that we do.
And how often do you guys do SIMs?
So quite frequently, at least twice a week. We actually do in situ simulations down in the department, down in the ER, where, you know, the equipment is real. kind of the environment is real. So if the sim is about kind of like finding certain equipment that we don't, you know, frequently use, like a Blakemore tube, that could be part of the sim experience too. So it adds a level of realism to the sim cases.
Now remind me, the PEDS ones are done on the in the PEDS recess room. Is that still the case?
Yeah, so that's still the case. So on Tuesdays, the Insight 2 simulation on the pediatric side is in the sim recess room. And then on the adult side on Thursdays, we have it in recess room 5 where the pediatric like trauma patients come. You know, all are welcome to attend.
Yeah.
You know, it's a learning experience for all, not only the residents and students and, you know, definitely attendings as well. And it's multidisciplinary, you know, the nurses and especially like the onboarding like nurses as well definitely join in on the cases. So we definitely encourage everybody to come.
It's at 7:30 on those days?
Yeah, 7:30.
Okay. How long do they usually last?
They usually go for about a half hour or so. Sometimes a little bit over if, you know, it's quite an interesting case or a debrief gets...
heated.
Yeah, which does happen quite frequently.
I'm sure, yeah. Definitely should go to get in on the action.
Yeah.
And then I see in your newsletter information you sent about some of like the recent stuff that you guys have done, including CRT and some scavenger hunts and things like that, if you want to talk a little bit about that.
Yeah, so it's not only the Insight 2 simulations. Once a month, we also have conference simulations on resident conference days, which is more like academic based. But we also do like simulations on an as-needed basis, depending on the needs of the department. We just recently had a crisis response team simulation that was a joint simulation between both the ED and the security to come and demonstrate like the workflow for a new crisis response in regards to patients and restraints. And actually one of our residents, Dr. Chowdhury, was the actor for...
He was very good.
Yeah, that's what I heard. And you could definitely see the picture of him being the patient on the newsletter, so definitely check that out. We also, you know, try to spice it up every now and then. So we, you know, kind of create like unique sims as well. On the pediatric side, I know Dr. Nemetsky did a scavenger hunt that was essentially about, you know, finding necessary like tools around the department, you know, similar to what I was saying before. You know, infrequently like used, you know, equipment that you may not know where it is, was kind of part of a scavenger hunt experience for the residents, which they really appreciated.
Yeah, that's cool, especially in the moment when you have like a sick patient, like in real life, that needs something and you don't know where to find it. Usually, I just engage charge and we get it done. But that's a good way to make sure that people kind of keep the knowledge of where things are fresh.
Maybe we'll make a scavenger hunt for you.
Oh, nice. My own scavenger hunt to look for what we're going to pop down into the ER one day, maybe on a Saturday when we have off. Scavenge around, find Blakemore tubes.
I'm going to do other things with my Saturday, but you can come in if you like.
The other thing that I wanted to bring up, I saw you were kind of putting in there like what's to come on the horizon for the team. If you want to talk a little bit about the oral boards thing, I didn't realize they're changing that up. ASCII format or something, standardized patients?
Yeah, so the oral boards from ABEM are changing this upcoming year where it's going to be more ASCII-based. So if you remember from medical school and taking like step 2, the clinical examination.
I took mine in Chicago.
We took ours in Philly.
Nice.
Yes.
Good times. The lunch was actually pretty good. I remember that sometimes.
I don't remember. I blacked out the entire experience. I felt terrible after mine.
You didn't like it?
No. I thought it went terribly.
I mean, you always think it goes terribly, but I was just glad to have it over with.
Anyways, so yeah, the format is changing. So we're teaming up with the residency leadership to kind of prepare simulation experiences to prepare the residents for this upcoming change with the oral boards. Additional things to kind of look for in the future, we'll be working with the ICU team to do a simulation about the PERT pathway, so patient with like a massive PE and activating PERT for somebody who's like unstable. So that's something I'll look for in the near future as well that Dr. Winters is coordinating. Also, kind of like last but not least, we're working with the School of Medicine EM Interest Group. You know, we all know that ER can be like a very hectic place, and it's definitely a very daunting experience, especially for, you know, a first time like medical student coming to the ER. So the interest group expressed interest in developing simulations to kind of help prepare students to arrive in the ER. So kind of like bread and butter, coming down, taking a history, kind of developing a differential like in plan and presenting. It's kind of like low stakes, you know, just to get their feet wet. So looking forward to that.
Nice. And if anybody has any ideas for SIM, I'm sure they can reach out to you.
Yeah, absolutely.
Thurber, Winters, Dr. Morschel, or the PEDS team at any time.
Yeah, absolutely. The residents right. come up with the cases at all times.
365 days a year, we can reach out to you anytime.
You can reach out to anybody else but me, 365, 24/7. No, I'm just kidding. Of course, you could reach out to any of us.
Okay. All right. Thank you so much, and looking forward to seeing what Sim does in the future.
Thank you for having me, and I'll let my voice coach know that they did a good job this morning.